What does God have to do with your finances? Just about everything. Hello, I am Candace Shade Cook, child of God, financial coach, and CEO of the Budget Queen TT. I help faith-based women generate wealth and leave a legacy behind by learning how to save, budget, repay debt, and invest in the future. If you know you're a child of God and you want to change your financial situation so you can achieve wealth, that forever kingdom wealth, then this is the perfect podcast for you. Plug in your earbuds and let's get started with changing your finances one episode at a time. So my guest today is not only a guest, but she's my soul sister, a friend. We have been in each other's life for about the past almost 2 to 3 years. None other than what we know her as the Boundaries Coach, Prudence Williams Laborde. Prudence, I just want to welcome you and thank you for giving me your time to come into the podcast and share your expertise with my audience. So Prudence, tell me a bit about your personal journey and what led you to be a life coach and a boundaries coach.
Hi, Candace, and your listeners. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be part of your amazing podcast. So a little bit about me and what led me on this journey of coaching, because I mean, there are so many coaches out there, right? And that was one of my main concerns, like, am I going to be another one? But when I review the pathway that the Lord has carried me through, I've always had that gifting and skill set of guiding, mentoring, and coaching. Now, in my day job, for want of a better term, I am actually a certified human resource professional. And throughout my experience as an HR professional, coaching, guiding, and mentoring has always been the foundation. Even as an operations manager in looking after my team, as large as 200 in some instances in my career, I always ensured to carve out time for people development and guiding and sharing knowledge and holding persons accountable and performance managing. So that's one of my areas of expertise, performance management. And as a life coach, when I first, when I wrote my first book, through nudging and pushing from God, the everyday leader becoming the best version of yourself daily, that life coaching aspect naturally birthed itself. Because writing that book and sharing my knowledge and my insights from that book, persons would have been reaching out to me and I would have been invited in spaces where I was, you know, was able to impact the lives of others. I then became a certified Christian coach. And what does that mean? The foundation in everything that I do is on the Bible and being led by the Holy Spirit. So even if I am coaching someone who is a non-Christian, a non-believer, I still ensure that I receive guidance and I submit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that he could give me the downloads so that I could support and help my client, you know? So the journey has been interesting. And when I look at the breadcrumbs that God has placed throughout my life, I've realized that I've always been a natural coach, and writing a book has allowed me to find my space in the sea of other coaches.
Yeah.
So my focus, I call myself, you know, and you would experience this when, you know, you're in the social media space and you're trying to find that niche and you're having leaving your mark out there, you need to ensure that people could remember you. So one of my areas of specialty is boundaries. Now, the broader sense of coaching, I call myself the success coach because, blending my experience in performance management and people development, my focus is helping persons move from default to design and helping
Yes.
that transformation and holding you accountable. So that's where I see success. And a big part of that is creating boundaries for yourself. So that's how I became like that expert in creating boundaries, creating and communicating and maintaining boundaries. So that's
Yes.
it about me in a nutshell.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, well, I call her Prudy. So I may slip up and say, Prudy, because that's my sweet name for her, okay? So, Prudy,
No.
what are boundaries? I want you to explain to the audience what is boundaries and why do you think it's important for personal finance?
So boundaries, when we hear the term boundaries, we always think it's like a Chinese wall. We are trying to safeguard ourselves, which is partially true. But when you look at some of the definitions from experts like Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, and even one of my favorite authors, Nedra Glover Tawab, they would say that a boundary is anything that helps differentiate you from someone else, which I love. And it shows you where you begin and where you end. And one of my favorite personal definitions is when you think about a lot of land, right? To be able to differentiate your land from your neighbor's land, you need to have a bound. A boundary shows what belongs to you, what's important to you, and what you value, right? Boundaries keep the good in, it keeps the bad out. And one of my favorite quotations is that good fences make good neighbors, and a good boundary ensures that you do exactly that. And a boundary shows others how you should be treated. So the foundation of boundary is ownership. And ownership from the perspective of it helps you to prioritize you over someone else, and it indicates what's yours versus someone else. So a bond is what differentiates you. So you are the center of your boundary. So when you look at finances, it's so important because before even setting a boundary, you need to be clear on what's important. I cannot set a boundary for Candace. Candace cannot set a boundary for me because we are different individuals. We are separate people and we have specific needs and wants. So, what may be important to Candace from a financial perspective will be different to me and different to anyone else. So, in creating that boundary from a financial perspective, the first things first is that you highlight what is important to you from a financial perspective. And then from there, once you understand what you value and what you want, then you need to put a barrier around it. So, for example, I had to create a boundary to ensure that I save X amount of dollars for X purpose, for Y purpose, sorry. And to ensure that I do that, I had to write it down, commit to it, and remind myself of it. So anything that comes up, I had to remember this boundary that I created because I have this in mind and I want to achieve this. So boundaries from a financial perspective ensures that we protect what is important and to ensure that we achieve the goal that we want to set out. And we ensure that by whatever means, we protect it so that it can be executed.
Yeah, I love that. That was a very good explanation. And I love how you said boundary starts with you prioritizing you. And a lot of times we prioritize everybody else and then we realize that our cups are empty. We realize that our finances are in a mess and we are wondering why. And we are thinking that we are doing all the right things, but we have not prioritized ourselves and where we want to go and what we would like our futures to look like. And that was the perfect explanation. Thank you, Prudy, for that. What are some connections between establishing and maintaining boundaries and achieving financial wellness?
So what I would say is building on the last point is that boundaries is an act of self-care.
Yeah.
So once you place yourself at the center and you're able to prioritize what's important for you, then it makes the financial conversation a little bit easier. So in my, because you also know that I love frameworks, right? When I work with my clients, when we start to create boundaries, we work a lot on the mindset. And I know this will be familiar to you because that's also the
Yeah.
foundation of your coaching in your space, right? Working on the mindset.
Mindset, yeah.
So when we get deep in that and understanding who we are and what we want to achieve, then we start to create the boundary that we would want, which may be similar to a habit or so, right? So once we do that, we create it and we create it tied to the values that we hold dear. Then we start to communicate it. And communicating it in, when I look at it through the lens of your finances, and something that you would have taught me is writing it down in your
Yeah.
calendar as a reminder on your phone, right? And that's the only way that you could maintain it. If it isn't written, it is not real.
Correct.
Same thing I tell my clients with a boundary. It may sound kind of basic, like, okay, I have a boundary. Why am I writing it down? There's power that happens between the pen and the paper because it does
Yeah.
something to the mind. It actually concretizes it. So when we do this awesome brainstorming, we work on the mindset, we do our journaling, we write down what it is we want to achieve, be it our financial goal, be it the boundary that we want to create and communicate. We actually write it down. Put it in a place that we could be reminded of,
Yeah.
right? And then we maintain it through ensuring that it becomes a habit by consistently applying it. And that's where the whole principle of if it's not measured, it isn't managed. If you do not take the time off to look and review what's important to you, then you will never be able to see and reap the benefits of it. You know, one of the principles, or the laws rather, of boundaries from Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend is that there is the law of reaping and sowing.
Yeah.
So a huge part of it is the reaping, the sowing, sorry, the sowing. So if you do not sow these very important seeds, then you will not be able to reap the harvest of
Correct.
the finances you want to achieve and the boundaries that you want to maintain, right? So that's how I see the connection, where you get clear on what's important to you, bring life through that journaling, you know, writing it down, making it visible, and doing those check-ins with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when, because I always tell people, when you're creating boundaries, one of the hardest things you have to do, by the way, it's not easy, it's not comfortable.
Because you have to become self-aware, and
Have to
man does
become self-aware. And people
that's the
are afraid to
hardest.
become self-aware, by the way.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to say. I am no good. You know that kind of way.
But you have to see it. That's the only way. And
Yeah.
this transformation happens when you become aware.
Yeah.
When you bring that to awareness, and then you say, okay, this is what it is. This is where I am. And then you go to, this is where I want to
To
be.
be,
What is
yeah.
your boundary? How am
Yeah.
I going to get there? Through maintaining it, through communicating it, and through
Yeah.
checking in with yourself, then you will be able to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. And if you don't want to do the work, then do not expect superior results.
Results. Come on,
The
preach.
law of reciprocity, the law of reaping and sowing.
And so in.
It is
Correct.
what it is.
It is what it is. You know, if you need to reap good fruit, reap abundance, reap success, you have to work on your mindset. You have to know what is your values and your morals. That means you have to become aware of yourself and understanding that when you become aware of yourself, you may even realize you are the reason, not your situation, not your circumstance, not the people in your life, you know? And now you have to say, I do not want to be at this point. I want to be at point B. And now what do I need to do to reach point B? And when you figure out where you, what is the task that you have to reach point B, you have to communicate it. And the communication style Prudence just said, it's writing it down. And what she said, that it's so simple. It's three steps. Write it, see it, review it. Those are the tasks. Because when the mind starts to get accustomed of seeing it, when you're reading it consistently, when you're reviewing it, when you're actually ticking off your tasks, now your mind changes and you start to create what you really want to reach the point B.
Yes. And it comes as
Yeah.
I say, it's reparenting yourself, right? If you go
Yeah.
to our school days, right, when you're revising for an exam or a test or whatever, it's the same thing you have to review. If you don't do the
Yeah.
review, you will not be able to pass your test, right?
Yeah.
This is about creating new neural pathways. When you're creating a habit or when you want to bring about change, you are actually impacting the neuroplasticity in your brain. And that only happens through when you write and when you repeat. A lot
Yeah.
of us plan and then we end there. Some of us, when we go back to the concept of boundaries, my 3C process is, create, you communicate, and then you curate, which is maintain. A lot of
Yeah.
us communicate it and then that's it. For
Yeah.
example, we have a spouse or let's just say anybody. You want to create this boundary. You created this boundary and you want a specific person to understand and adhere to it. Now, this person has been accustomed with you behaving a particular way for years. So now you with this refreshed boundary, how could you expect them to remember if you only communicated once? The change will not happen. So it's something
Yeah.
that you have to continuously do
Ooh, yeah.
until it goes on autopilot.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
and sometimes we, and as you said, could become our own enemies. We are the problem. I created a
Yeah.
post the other day that was a little controversial that, five signs that you are crossing your own boundaries. You want to, but you are the problem. It may
Yeah.
sound harsh, but we need to become self-aware and stop blaming other people and start to take personal
A
accountability.
bit correct.
And the only person you can control is yourself. You can only influence others. So in doing that, you want to ensure that your house is in order and that you follow these steps so then you can influence the outcome of everything else.
That's correct. That's correct. So, pretty, I want you to share with me, give me an example of how healthy boundaries have positively impacted someone's financial situation to financial stability.
I could give the example of myself because
Yeah.
right. Now, I had, based on some traumas in the past, I did not have a healthy money relationship.
Yeah.
And through that, working with you and that, bringing myself into the awareness of where it stemmed from
Yeah.
and what do I want to achieve, I therefore had to create boundaries, a boundary specific to my finances.
Yeah.
One of the boundaries that I would have created for myself is what I call my CEO financial, what I call it, boy, my wealthy Fridays, CEO Wealth Fridays, where every Friday at a particular time, I have it in my calendar. I have it as an alarm on both of my phones to remind myself that this is time where I will sit and I would think about, write about, document, track all things regarding money. Because of that trauma in the past, I just never used to pay attention with my money.
Yeah.
And in creating that boundary, because the awareness allowed me to see the hurt and now allowed me to readjust my lens and prioritize my finances a
Yeah.
little better. Now I know, okay, this is important to me. And in creating that, I place that time, and no matter what or wherever I am, I will sit, even if it's for 15 minutes, because not every day is the same and not every day is created equally. So
Right.
some days I could sit for an hour, another day, an hour and a half. Some days I could only do 15 minutes. But that is a pillar, a non-negotiable pillar and
Yeah.
bound that I've created to ensure that I address my finances, and I call it my wealthy CEO Fridays. And from a stability standpoint, sometimes when we hear financial stability, we instantly think, an overflow and your bank account is like huge.
Yep.
For me, that created stability as I now have a routine and I've built the habit of checking in on my finances. Because before I was not doing it, I just used to ensure that bills have been paid and I moved on, right? I look at my account, okay, bam, this is paid, that is paid. And I just had things just going as it was. But now intentionally sitting and seeing all of the inflows and the outflows has now enabled me to better plan. It has enabled me to actually save more.
Yeah.
Because since I started to do that, I could see now the
Yep.
opportunities for me to increase or decrease. And I'm happy to say that I've actually increased my savings by a
Yes.
significant amount. And now,
That's
when that day comes, I'm looking forward to it, because at the beginning I was kind of like treading to, like, oh my gosh, because I didn't used to like to have money conversations, even with myself.
Yeah.
And now I use the opportunity to have conversations with my husband on that day. I look forward to the Friday because, one, it's the beginning of the weekend. Two, I have my CEO wealth meeting with myself.
Yes.
Right? So creating that boundary, because I tell people, most of the times we like to think boundary again is that whole Chinese wall and, it's for saving yourself from terrible relationships. No, it's prioritizing the relationship with yourself first.
Well, come on.
So I was able to have that non-negotiable time. I try to ensure that it is not interrupted. And even if it doesn't happen in the morning, I will carve some time in the afternoon. It must
Yeah.
happen. Now, and I'm at a space where if the time is coming up, I already have my things set up. This is my CEO time. Do not disturb. That is
I
an example
love it.
of the boundary. As small as it was, it has had a significant impact on
Yeah.
my mindset. And, now I could see, and it's also a strategy of
Yeah.
monitoring and reviewing.
Yeah. And it gives you that opportunity to make decisions without fear, anxiety, and worry. It literally removes that. When you set boundaries with your finances, firstly, when you're working on your finances, you're setting boundaries against yourself. Usually when you're setting boundaries for someone else, not to come in your yard. but you're already in your yard. You're already in that space. So you are working to set boundaries on yourself, creating new habits, developing a new mindset. And I like to say shifting your perspective of how you see things so that you will do things differently. And I love how you say said financial stability doesn't mean an overflowing in your bank account. It actually means that you're doing little things, taking intentional steps to the destination that you would like to achieve. And if that is you're suffering with fear and anxiety towards your finances, having that CEO Friday and actually being intentional and showing up and journaling around your finances, your emotions, the things that has happened, what are some of your money triggers, and identifying those things and starting to learn how you communicate with money so that you can change your communication style. Money is you having a relationship, right? So it's just like if you're talking with your husband, your partner, your children, it's a conversation you're having. And if it's an unhealthy conversation and you want to have a relationship with money, we all do want to have a relationship with money, we would have to learn a different communication style so that we can interact with our finances in a healthy way. And that is what it sounds like you did, Prudy. You learn how to communicate with your finances in a healthy way. You have set aside time to build your relationship with your finances. And that's a big win. That's a big thing, not a small thing.
Yes, because now it could, as you could see it, as I could see it, now I could see the opportunities to set myself up for more success. If I
Yeah.
didn't do that, then I would not have been see, or I would have been trapped into the current and not being able to see the opportunities.
Yes, I love the word trap. That's what it feels like. You're trapped in a cycle and I'm making good money. You know, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, but why it is not going across to my finances? Why it's not showing up there? Because you have not set intentional time. You have not created a boundary that I am going to do this and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to set a date. I'm going to intentionally put my time there, no distractions. You know, that is what we need to do for our finances. Create a healthy relationship interaction with our finances, right? Thanks for
Yes.
sharing that one, Prudy. Thanks for giving us your personal example.
No
So,
problem.
how can having boundaries contribute to reducing stress and anxiety related to money matters? And I know you touched on it a little bit just now.
Yes. So what one of the mindset changes that I had to make was that one, money is a tool that is supposed to serve me.
Come on.
Similar with boundaries. Boundaries are supposed to serve you. It's supposed to serve me, not the other way around. And in changing that mindset, it helped me to reduce some of the anxiety, knowing that I can influence and I can control because it's mine. Right?
Yeah.
So once you change that perception, it automatically reduces stress and it makes you feel a little more empowered.
Yeah.
Because you know that you are the CEO of you, right? And you
Yeah.
now have this control. You have the ability to create the boundaries. You have the ability to manage your money. You are the CEO. And in looking at it from that perspective, it allows you to alleviate the stress because most of the times the stress comes about when we overthink. And when we make our problems larger than life, and sometimes all we need to do is to step back and assess. Stop, as I
Yeah.
like to say, stop, assess, and then you address.
Yeah.
Right? Do I need to, what changes do I need to make? You know, what boundaries do I need to create? What boundaries no longer serve me? You
Yeah.
know? When you realize, when you take the approach of that CEO, when you look at a CEO in an organization, they exude a confidence because they know
Yeah.
that they have influence and control over the resources.
Yeah.
So once you realize that it's money is a tool similar to boundaries that's supposed to serve you, then you can objectively look at the opportunities instead of operating from lack.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, a lot of times we make financial decisions without knowing our financial picture. We don't know what we have. We don't know how much is really coming in, how much is going out. You know, we might have an idea what is coming in, but we have no idea actually what is coming, going out. And we make a lot of purchases and we make a lot of obligations to spend money. And then we say, I don't have enough money. I need to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that making more money is going to solve the problem, right? Or the issue. But not knowing your financial picture is what is the issue. So when Prudy says to stop, assess, and address, is when you do not have enough money or you find your finances are disappearing, like, you know, the magician, have to stop. When you stop now, you have to figure out how much money you're actually coming in. What are your expenses every month? You start to assess everything, what is happening. How am I feeling? You know, sometimes it's we spend money according to how we feel. Emotional spending, you know, something may be going on in my life right now that is causing my finances to be in chaos, you know. So when you assess now and you know what is going on, you can address it. I need to cut back in this area, or I need to cut this subscription, or I need to save a little more, or I need to get therapy, you know. These are some of the things when you start to address, because you have assessed, you can fix your finances.
Yes.
So Prudy, are there any cultural or societal influences that may affect the way a person perceives or set boundaries? And how might that affect the person financially?
So, yes, there's a lot of cultural influence in everything that we do. And there are a lot of misconceptions with boundaries, where, you know, most of the times you would see that boundaries are for other people, which I touched on this before. Boundaries are Chinese walls, they're fixated. Boundaries are only to keep the bad out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to protect yourself from, you know, terrible relationships. You know, it's about being independent.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest misconceptions, you know. We could go in the whole whirlwind of this boss babe independent woman. Right? Which we know it's a facade, because we are created to depend on each other.
Yeah. It is not good for man to be alone.
Exactly. That's why God made Eve for Adam, right?
Yeah.
Nobody can do this thing on their own. And with all of the noise from the media, you know, showing and expressing that rhetoric, it has translated in our perception of money, boundaries and money.
Yeah.
You know, we feel as if we have to do things on our own. We believe that we need to have X amount of money to be deemed as being okay.
Come on.
We believe that we have to buy and use certain things to be able to show our worth.
Yeah.
And it has definitely impacted how we see ourselves.
Come on.
The biggest part of it is that whole self-worth.
Yeah.
From boundaries to finances. But
yeah.
My thing about it is that when God has created us, one, he has created us to create. He has created, or we live in a world where he created, where money is a tool to be used. And then there is another part of it, another part of that subculture, where money is seen as bad, right?
Yeah.
And then
there is, yeah.
operate in a lack. And unfortunately, a lot of religious institutions push that whole message
Lack.
as a whole lack mentality.
You cannot achieve anything unless you go into debt, that kind of mentality.
Exactly. But going back to the foundation of a boundary, it is about you and how you should be treated. What's important to you?
To you.
What's important to you is a reflection of God's will in your life.
Come on.
God said that He wants us. So to first ask in faith, believing, and we would receive, right? Seek and you should would find, but we lack nothing because we can do all things through Him. Even when we look from sins in Genesis, when He told Adam and Eve, what was the first commandment He gave? Be fruitful,
And
multiply,
multiply.
dominion. God, whatever God says we are, we can do and we can have, He is more than able and capable to allow it to happen. So we
That's
need to learn,
correct.
first and foremost, who we are and whose we are.
Whose we are.
Do
Come
not
on.
know. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. So once we align our values with the will that God has in our lives, then we will be able to press forward. And then we will be able to have our eyes open to the possibilities that are available because God is a God of limitless possibilities.
Come
Understand that love is already there and we are journeying to it, then we have nothing to fear. And we don't have to listen to what culture is saying because we are Christ over culture.
Christ over culture. I love
So,
that. I
yes,
love
there
that.
are the societal things that become so noisy and become so distracting, and then eventually it numbs us. And then all we're seeing is lack. We have to go to the foundation. Because you know why? The foundation is true. The foundation is exactly what it is. A foundation is something that's stable.
Yeah, strong. It can hold the weight. It can carry it.
Exactly. And I know that I serve the God who is the burden bearer. So being Victorian, sometimes it's unnecessarily so. So sometimes you need to detox from the social media a little bit. Stop, assess, and address, and go back to the foundation, which is Christ Jesus.
And you'll be okay. He said, I provide all your needs and I can give you way more than you can think of or imagine. So whatever you think or you imagine, God is going to 100x that.
Exactly. And I'm sure everybody who's listening to this can give an example of a time when they were worried and they thought that they will not have. And then, for whatever reason, which we know is God, open a way. You probably find $100 in your pocket. Or somebody call you and say, you know, I had this for you. I thought about you. That wasn't by chance. That wasn't by luck.
That's
That
provision.
was by the frustration of God's provision. So if he did it before, he could definitely do it again. And let
Do
me
it
plan
again.
and create those boundaries, plan and ask for the things that we want. Doors of opportunity will be made available.
Come on. Yes. I love that. I love that. Yes. This is the Kingdom Wealth Podcast, Prudy. And as we are wrapping up, I always ask my guests this question: what is one spiritual saying or Bible verse that you love or resonate deeply with, and why?
So I will give you two, because it's just me, right? Recently I was led to reread the book of Philippians, and it's such a beautiful book, you know. And one of my favorite verses from ever since has been Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, which says, given it the King James Version, be anxious for nothing, but by everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God,
Come
and the peace
on.
of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that is just a reminder, and as I call it, the stress antidote. Paul here, who was writing from prison, you can't get worse than that, is
In horrible conditions, by the way.
terrible. The prison now, compared to the prisons in those times, right? He's reminding us not to be anxious, but to remember that when we pray, once we talk to God with a grateful heart, God will grant us that peace which passeth all
All
understanding.
understanding.
And when you think about finances, most of the times we get a little anxious. But once you go back to that foundation, reminding ourselves of God's word, because God is not a man that he should lie, but realize that everything would be okay, because if he did it before, he's going to do it again. And being grateful opens the door for us to receive more things to be grateful for. Gratitude
Gratefulness is a currency.
multiplies, it compounds. And then my other scripture is Proverbs 4:23, which ties beautifully to boundaries. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So boundaries are important because we need to protect ourselves first. Boundaries allows us to be intentional, to design and not to operate by default. So once mindful of the things that we do or say and ensure that it aligns to the plan that God has for us, then we will be able to walk in the authority in which God has called us to be and to operate.
Yes. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying it. So, Prudy, thank you for coming on and being a guest on the Kingdom Wealth podcast. Can you please tell the listeners how they can connect with you and learn more from you?
Thank you again, Candice. I'm quite active on social media, on Instagram and on Facebook. You can just look for me, Prudence, the Everyday Leader on Facebook, and the underscore everyday underscore leader on Instagram. My email address is theeverydayleader2020@gmail.com. And I encourage you to follow me. If you want to learn about how to achieve your goals, how to set them, how to create and communicate healthy boundaries, I would be happy for you to be part of my community. And every Monday, once you share your email address with me, I send a motivational Monday minute to my email community where you get some encouragement as you go forward for the new week.
Rudy, I didn't hear you share your book.
Oh my
How can
gosh.
they purchase a copy of your book? How can they work with you one-on-one coaching?
Yes. So my book is available on Amazon. I have a few copies for those of you who are in Trinidad. The investment is 150 TT dollars. I have a limited spots available in my one-on-one coaching as we approach the year's end. There are two ways you can work with me. One-on-one for 90 minutes, where that's more of like a strategy type of session. You either want to pick my brain on a goal that you would want to achieve, and we work together to brainstorm, what are the next steps? What are some of the mindset hacks that we need to work on to execute? And you leave with a plan, or you work with me for 90 days, where we go from foundation to finish on a goal that you have. We get clear on next steps, we get clear on your vision, ensuring that goal is tied to your vision and your why. And then we create a master plan of execution, and then I hold your hand towards completion. I also have an amazing tool that's available. If you go on my Instagram bio, you would see a tool called the Say No Checklist. And that Say No checklist allows you to be able to determine when you should say no so that you can get your best yes. And I think that will be really good from a financial perspective as well. that is $6.99 US. As soon as you put in your payment details, you would receive an email with the attachment, and there's also some space for you to journal in that tool. So that's about it for me. Thank you, Candace.
You're welcome, Prudy. Thank you again for being a guest on the podcast. I really enjoyed this episode, and we will chat again. So, everyone, bye.
Bye.
This brings us to the end of another episode of the Kingdom Wealth Podcast. But before I leave you, can I read Proverbs 10:4 to you? It reads, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." As you're on your journey to attain kingdom wealth, I want to remind you that you also need to ensure that you're using your hands and time wisely. Inside of my one-on-one financial coaching, we use my Budget by Grace method to help you save more, repay debt, and invest in the future. To begin your journey and take the right step, go to my link in my show notes to apply. I can't wait to be your coach and help you on your journey to wealth building. See you in the next episode.